This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the jump. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 25 of Bit Season. This is Drab.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Thanks to everybody for sticking through a week filled of sports.
Yes, our silver anniversary.
Yeah. Hot takes galore on the junkies this week.
It kind of sucks that our anniversary is coming when bits have been shelved since there's so much QB news. Sports news.
That's the white elephant.
Sports.
In the room this week is that for Bit Season is that there wasn't a lot of content for us to talk about, but good thing that Valdez is an entertaining guy, and I feel like I can chop it up with him for about 45 minutes to an hour here. And we actually.
Hey, that's one of the nicest things you've said about me. Called me an entertaining guy.
Yeah, all right, write it down, Dre. Yeah, I'm an interesting guy. Valdez is an entertaining guy. You know what? We got a couple things here on the rundown, but one of the things that I just want to get into, I know we talk about no sports, but this isn't really that sports related. I want to know why, Valdez, you are such a kiss ass to all the Commander fans out there. I've been saying this for years, and today's a day for me to get this off my chest, to bring it back to the table. And, you know, we do a good cop, bad cop thing in that producer room when it comes to the Commanders. And I'm just kind of putting it all together that I always trash them. But you go above and beyond every opportunity to put the Commanders over and say what they're doing is great and just looking for those pats on the back from the HTTR guys.
You know what it is? It's ever since Judge Alston took me to RTJ after they beat the undefeated Steelers.
All right, what was it? What is it because you predicted that they would win that game?
Yeah, I predicted they would win the game because I am a genius football mind and I knew that the Steelers were playing their third game in like 10 days. And so I knew that they were going to lose, and then everybody, they just see the undefeated Steelers, and they just all of a sudden think that the lowly Redskins are going to lose, and then Judge Alston took me out to RTJ if they won, and they won, and I had a silly round. And
I got to give you credit, because you kind of figured it out. I think it's lame, but you have figured out that nobody cares if you're wrong, right?
Of course.
Like you said, the Redskins during the Washington football team was going to go 12 and 4.
I had them playing in the NFC Championship game in our preseason selections.
You, not one person has checked
Nobody cares. And that's part of the reason why I hate when the junks ride the fence so much. Like it's stupid because nobody cares. Nobody's
on the fence with Carson Wentz.
That's Jason's T-shirt idea. Yeah. On the fence with Wentz.
That could have been the first hour of the show today.
Yes, it's basically this is what the guys do. The guys do a light spot. It's like a boxing match almost. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is just jabbing nonstop. All right. They're trying to get a feel for.
You're talking about Wentz or just
opinions in general,
right?
All right, they want to get a feel for like what everyone is saying, what everyone's reacting to. They're not ready to set the narrative in ink. All right. So they're just doing this song and dance where they're just jabbing, touching a little bit, just seeing what the other person's all about before they make their declarative opinion. Then all of a sudden they bring the hammer when the writing's on the wall. That's kind of what they do with their taste.
I know, but how I don't want to say they fooled people all these years, because sometimes they do have great takes or good opinions on stuff. And this, this isn't.
Look, the age we're living in, where everything is on a tweet that you did, 3 years ago, where it's so easy to go get the tape, Valdez. Where it's, we're able to find stuff quickly. It's just people are scared of being wrong. And
you can't have three of the guys this morning.
All I'm trying to show is that it doesn't matter if you're wrong. Nobody cares. This business isn't about being right. If you want to go be right, go move to Vegas.
I actually think you're lifting my bit.
Not lifting your bit.
No, hold on. Let me explain.
Sorry, I'm very defensive.
Now you are. Just relax. We got a long show in front of us. All right. So I went out on a limb, right? You attacked my radio instincts earlier this week, okay? Which actually I would like to get to that as well. But I think my radio instincts were showing. I was flashing the last few weeks when I went out on a limb and I screamed, the Seahawks aren't trading Russell Wilson.
Yeah, stop with your dumb Twitter memes.
All right, all well knowing that was a possibility. Not high, in my opinion, but it was a possibility. And I would be I would look so stupid. And I went out and said, I bet all you guys $20 a free roll that they're not trading him, right?
Uh-huh.
And what do? They trade the star franchise quarterback, and I look like
an idiot. You have egg on your face.
But I don't care. And everyone was like, oh, Drab, I bet you feel so stupid on Wednesday when they traded him. And, or was it Tuesday? Whatever. And I didn't care because, A, I was happy they got rid of Russell Wilson. So I was kind of doing an emotional hedge there, as EB likes to say. Well, but also, nobody really cares if you're wrong. Oh, so I lost my Seahawks insider credibility in Washington, D.C. Big effing deal.
I know. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what I have to say, but when you hit on that long shot idea,
when Bubba Watson shoots a 10 over today,
right? Then all of a sudden you're a Nostradamus,
right?
You're the soothsayer, the seer. And by the way, it was so tilting to me that Eric wouldn't. Eric just got basically a free $200 from your bets, and then the pool that we did for Carson Wentz, and his scaredy cat ass wouldn't put a $20 free bet out there that Carson Wentz will not throw a pick left-handed.
No, just let it roll. What is this word? Who cares?
Like, that's fun. You think that's not fun?
But this is always, this is actually, I don't want to say this is sports stuff because we're not really talking about sports. We're talking about behind the scenes radio stuff and it's just inside baseball
producer
stuff.
Bits.
Yes.
Producer stuff. Boring.
It's trying to encourage the guys to have opinions about stuff, but also be authentic at the same time, right? Like, you don't want them to come in here and just saying stuff they don't believe in.
Right.
So
because you can tell.
Yeah, and the listeners will pick up on that
But also, it's kind of our fault, too, because, like, whenever someone says something wrong, we're the first ones to mock. We're the first ones to play the tape.
Of course, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, but they should understand sharks. That's entertaining.
It's entertaining, right? Yes, and I expect it all back.
Exactly.
When
Bubba Watson wins the Players Championship,
mm-hmm.
I expect people to take a big duty on me, as Evie always says.
I was excited on Wednesday morning when I woke up, knowing that I was going to get made fun of when I came to the air for blowing the Russell Wilson trade.
Were you driving in thinking about all your retorts?
Of course. What I was going to say.
Like, how am I going to zing JC back?
If I scream, will people take me more seriously? Yeah. How am I going to play this? You got to think about the show. Yeah.
Right. So, you should have doubled down on something.
Right. Oh, I should have.
I know.
Trust me, or nothing.
Hey, I'm already learning because I'm going.
Damn it! Why didn't I think of a double or nothing?
I'm going to take it a step further, and then when it's Lamar's turn right, for the contract, I'm going to be we need to trade him for picks.
Oh, I like it. All right.
I need to take a page out of your book and be happy about the picks. Do the opposite bit.
Exactly. So I got like 10 tweets or whatever. I mean, maybe more of people calling me an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about and I should shut up on the show from here on out or whatever. Those are just, you know, those guys will always be listening. Yeah, like, I don't really care.
You know,
like,
the guys whose Twitter handle, who just followed me, whose name is Sports Convo, will always be following me.
It doesn't matter. Like, we just want them to listen. And that's what the thing that I try to, we tell you.
At Sports Convo.
We always try to tell the junkies, just have an opinion. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Like, I don't even like Colin Cowherd, right? I don't even like him. We played his audio on the show today, but I respect the hell out of him. Because he comes every day with a dumb opinion about something. And he gets made fun of for John Wall thing 12 years later. Or the backwards hat guy or all those dumb stuff. But he comes prepared every day. You don't ever hear a guy like Colin Cowherd say,
He's never on the fence.
I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
Right? He would just never say that.
But I don't understand this. Don't people realize, and we've been screaming this from the mountaintop forever, about sports talk radio, that your job isn't to be right. Your job is to be captivating and entertaining. We've been saying that since day one. Why don't people understand that?
I don't know.
Because your job isn't to be right. It's impossible to be right.
Your job is just to have opinions.
Right.
Right or wrong.
Right, yeah. It's literally impossible to nail everything.
And you know what also about Sports Radio 101 is that once you form that opinion, right? You can't move off of it. You have to die with that opinion.
Yeah, you have to dig your feet into the sand.
That's what makes it fun.
Yes. All right. It's like 300, and you have to whip your sword out against Xerxes' army and fight them to the death.
If you say something on the show, you just got to ride it out.
Yeah.
Hope that it turns around.
Yeah, like Cakes. His thing is he will never take a non-skill position in the first round. It doesn't matter who if Washington drafts the next Jonathan Ogden on the offensive line, Cakes has to slam it. Yeah, he has to dig his water shoes in the sand and say they should have taken a wide receiver.
If Washington drafts the next Sean Taylor again at number 5 overall, Cakes has got to be furious about
it. Yeah, he's got to slam it.
Yeah, and that's why I don't like Eric changing his teams on they're the Bengals, they're the Cardinals. Now he's putting the Falcons and the Bears in there. If you're always going to bet against those teams, got to bet against those teams. You have an opinion
about
it.
You got to double down. Doesn't matter how wrong you are. You got to try and dig yourself out of the hole instead of calling it quits.
Right.
You know what? That's got to be one of our lessons in radio camp.
Okay, here we're back to the radio camp. I'm just saying, Valdez looking for a quick buck.
We're just giving out free sports talk radio advice right now.
You know what? Send this over to the guys on the other shows and the 980 producers.
Hey, I want CK to listen to this. CK does give us a slot on 980 middays or something.
Okay, yeah. But even though it's been a lot of sports on the show this week, I think it's been a lot of fun, and it's actually given us an opportunity to think about some of the things that we haven't had a chance to get to on Bit Season. And one of the things that I wanted to get Valdez's thoughts on is the Junkies pour off.
Oh.
That was going on last week on the show.
It's been 2 weeks of the guys kind of revisiting their childhoods and kind of just seeing like who's got it worse growing up. And this is a huge wrinkle because this is something the guys never really talk about, because they talk about who's like the squeaker of them all, who like just spends the most money, you know what I mean,
but
the most money, but when it comes to money, no one ever talks about how poor they were growing up.
Okay, but who do they think they're fooling, right? Who in the audience doesn't think that the Junkies are well off now and it doesn't matter how they grew up? Right. Or that they're squeaking on something, or that they're looking for a free T-shirt or their free phone bill.
Uh-huh.
Everyone knows that they got 7 digits on that bank account or their 401k or whatever it is. I don't know their exact number. I know they're wealthy.
I know that they've made it.
Right. They made it. They always, you know, always complain about how they missed the golden era of radio.
Trust me. Right. Well, if they missed the golden era, they're in the silver era.
Right. Maybe they didn't make Don Imus money. But
yeah, they can't afford a ranch.
You know, for sure, some local DJs, they made it.
Yeah.
And they'll never have to worry about paying you know, their car bill
maybe,
or whatever.
Maybe just, I don't know, they feel embarrassed.
Well, that's the thing about them growing up. Why are they trying to one-up each other about who grew up the poorest?
Because everything we do, this show is a contest.
I know, but shouldn't they be bragging about who is richer? Who wants to brag about being the poor kid?
I don't know. Maybe it's something like they've made it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because no one cares. Well, when you're older, no one cares if you're
rich or not.
Oh,
so you're saying that they came from nothing, just a kid from Akron.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
a kid from Bowie.
We're just kids from PG County.
Yeah, okay.
Look at
all
us.
Right.
And now we pulled ourselves by our bootstraps. Isn't that this cliche?
Yeah.
Pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps.
Yeah.
Sent in our demos, and now look at us 27 years later.
So they came from nothing. they made it into something. But does it change the fact they're all middle class kids?
Yes.
Okay. They all lived in the same neighborhood in Bowie, Maryland.
Right. They're not living on food stamps growing up. You know what I mean?
Jason had a different upbringing, and his Jason's upbringing sounds like it was the worst.
Yes, of course it was.
All right, maybe he wasn't splitting a burger four ways, but
hey, look, Eric embellishes about splitting a burger, you know. Uh-huh. But
now I believe that JP says he embellishes that.
Oh, all right. Well, in terms of Eric had a fantastic childhood. I feel like because they still went out to eat. You know,
right.
Even if they cut the burger in half, they still went out
to Roy Rogers. Okay. What are you saying?
Her parents still bought them shoes, mm-hmm. even though like they returned the most expensive ones.
Right.
All right.
So
he's still like, Jason, on the other hand, Jason was a latchkey kid.
Right.
All right. Making hot dog casseroles every night. All right. And then when I learned that he had one bathroom in his house, that took the cake for me.
That
won me over because I can't imagine everybody pooping in the same toilet.
What about the BMW, though, that JP always brings up?
You're a BMW aficionado. So if let's say right now, if you have a 2006 BMW, is that thing still a baller?
Let me tell you something. I drive old BMWs and I can barely pay my bills. All right. When JP brings that up, that means nothing to me.
No, it actually means a lot to me because I feel like when you're younger, the poorer you are, the more you try to pretend that you have wealth. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So he's buying a BMW because Nas is rapping about him and mm-hmm. his cassettes that he's listening to.
Right.
All right. So that's why he went out and bought a 1986 BMW. 3 series.
Yeah.
That make
it makes sense to me.
All right. The fact that he's parking it in his front yard too.
In his grass.
Grass is another chip in the poor meter for
No, what was this about? I never really thought about this. About cakes growing up with a silver spoon in his mouth. That's what they were alluding to, that cakes grew up the richest of all out of all.
Right, because it's always been JP's been the richest.
I'd never even thought about cakes being wealthy as a kid. Now he denies it.
Well, what was the evidence about cakes being
There's
wealthy?
Never any evidence. They just say they said last week on the show that he grew up a rich kid. That's what caught me by surprise.
All right. Well, let's think about their...
And I know Cakes does not like it when JP and the other guys talk about how poor they were. Maybe it makes Cakes feel embarrassed that he was more well off than the other guys.
Well, let's think about it. So Cakes lived across the street from JP, correct?
Yeah.
That's what everyone says. So if JP is considered the
Does
rich,
that really mean anything, though? I know we all
look,
do.
Well,
I just,
I'm just saying this.
I like, just said they're all middle-class kids from Bowie, right?
I know, but there's still levels of middle class.
Right. Okay.
I'm trying to create a totem pole of poor during their
childhood.
Basically,
I'm thinking about how much richer my neighbors are than me.
Well, let's think about it. Let's say, like, in Pasadena, there's a crappy...
You either live on the water.
Like, yeah. Okay. I say that all the time. Either live on the water or you don't.
All right.
We live close to the water.
Okay, a quarter mile from the water.
Less than that, probably.
There you go. Oh, look at Valdez flexing about how rich he is.
But if there's sections of Bowie that are more well off than other sections, like JP's P section that he grew up in, if Cakes is the neighbor, then obviously they have some sort of means to get that house.
Right.
You know, trust me, the difference in Pasadena from living in Chesterfield and Lakeshore,
yeah,
is different. The closer you get to Gibson Island, the closer you get to Gibson Island, the richer you are.
Right. Their conversation of their one off of who grew up poor always makes me laugh because first of all, none of them are from the city, none of them grew up in real tough times.
So you're kind of trust me, it's kind of tongue in cheek when you're talking about it. But your theory is that Cakes is secretly well off growing up.
Oh, well, they alluded to it last week. I'd never really thought about it that much before. That Cakes was more you know. That's why I think now that Cakes is defensive a little bit about it because he's embarrassed that he grew up richer than him.
Let's try and piece the puzzle together. So, here's why I can see it. Here's kind of like exhibit A.
Aren't you always in the middle? That's what I don't understand. There's always friends that are way richer than you, and there's always friends that are on Felt Street. Okay, you're always somewhere in the middle.
You know what? If you grow up and you always want to go over someone else's house,
right?
You're on Felt Street. If you're always hosting your friends over, you're the rich kid.
I went over to a lot of friends' houses.
What?
I went over to a lot of friends' houses.
Well, then you were the poor one out of the group.
I don't really think that's fair. I think my parents were upper middle class or middle class, but there's 100 Cahills. So everything, we lived on Felt Street because there was just 1,000 kids.
Your dad liked to sling it.
Yeah, my dad liked to sling it. You think I ever went to Disneyland? No, we took vacations to like Ocean City, our Ocean City. We went, you know, we went to Cannon Beach. We got friends going, taking vacations. We didn't really do that thing as a kid. We went out maybe twice a summer, and it was to Red Robin.
Do you want to know the Valdez family vacations that were outside of Ocean City?
Mm-hmm.
We went to Disney World when I was younger.
Rich kid.
Yeah. And Cooperstown.
Oh, Cooperstown.
Yeah. Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's silly.
Sports.
No, actually, you know what? I did go to Disneyland once as a family, but we had to drive there. Okay? We drove from Washington State to L.A.
That sounds miserable.
So miserable. Okay, that's a long drive, over like 2-day drive. Mm-hmm. And then when we got there, I have this very, vague memory of my parents putting me on a leash. So I wouldn't run away. And they had they held the leash in their hand, the other end was wrapped around my wrist, so I couldn't disappear from them.
That's funny.
My parents also, speaking of leashes, used to tie me into bed.
Did I ever tell
you that?
No. Did you have like night terrors?
No. Me and my brother, we had to share a room because there's 100 Cahills. We would be screwing around. I'm like 7, 8 years old or something like that. They would tie me to the bedpost with my dad's robe belt. Yes, until I fell asleep. Not every night.
Would you wake up tied?
Think about this. When we would get out of bed, my dad would kick open the door and be like, go to bed. And then he'd go into his room, grab his robe, take the cotton thing out of it, come back in, and tie me to the bedpost like I was being crucified.
Like,
okay,
like The Exorcist.
And I would have to fall asleep like that. And then, yes.
How old were you?
I have multiple memories of this happening.
And
so
then, what was the reasoning that he said that?
Because we wouldn't go to bed. We'd be screwing around. We'd jump out of bed, giggling, laughing, making a ruckus. So we wouldn't fall asleep. Horseplay, playing grab ass at like 11 p.m. at night.
How many kids were in the bedroom? It was just you
just
and your
me
brother?
And my little brother. We shared a room until I was probably 12 years old or so.
All right, so you're about 8 years old. All right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, my parents, they had some unorthodox style between tying me to the bedpost, which sounds like child abuse, and taking me to jail when I was bad.
It's not that bad. My parents used to smack me with a fly swatter.
That actually doesn't seem like it would hurt that much.
You want me to get a fly swatter? pull your pants down. I'll show you.
Get a fly swatter. Yeah. That's better than being beat with the firewood outside. That's what my dad would always find, a plank of firewood.
Or a wooden spoon.
Yeah. And he always say, bend over and grab your ankles.
Oh, also, Hilton Head. When we got older,
oh,
Hilton Head.
No wonder. No wonder. Elitist over here.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Hilton Head's first class, man.
I know. My dad did work two jobs when I was younger. his entire life.
Security guard?
Yeah, he worked as a security guard. And then in the morning, he did his chief investigations at MVA.
Oh, look at you. Look at him. Yeah. Old Bob Myers. And
this was back when, you know, like portable DVD players like, first came out.
Oh, so he would take them to work?
Yeah, he would take them. He would sit in the car, watch DVDs, maybe fall asleep, get paid $20 an hour.
Hey, why don't I ever hear you say I want to be a security guard?
Because I walk past Carlos every day. That's why.
Hey, Carlos living the life, man.
I don't know. It's not for me.
It's not for you. You're too social.
Too social. I don't know.
Too social.
I don't know if I could do that. No. But by the way, getting back to my theory, why Cakes was well off. So Cakes had to learn how to appreciate and use the stock market. All right. And I think Cakes is the most adept at market trading amongst the junks.
Mm-hmm.
The guys just throw their money in their fund and let the guys handle it.
So Cakes is self-made.
No. So I think Cakes learned that from his parents, like growing up. You don't just like, you know, read about it. You have, it's something that you have to learn.
You didn't learn about the stock market in your economics class in high school?
What high school did you go to?
Richland High. It was an elective. Actually, I'm not even sure it was.
We never had an econ class.
We had an econ class. I mean, I remember a lot of it was on the stock market.
We never had anything like that.
We learned about the stock market when I was in grammar school. Obviously the very basics of it.
We learned how to tie a chicken neck on a market.
I like hearing about how Valdez and I grew up in different places.
I didn't even know what the NASDAQ was. I didn't know what the NASDAQ was until I got my first full-time job.
Hey, speaking of my grammar school, I mentioned earlier in this week that my English teacher shared a bit of private information, and she said that her and her husband had never gotten into an argument.
Right.
All right. And then EB is talking about how him and Dina never argue. I don't buy that for one second.
No, I think everyone's just all sheepish.
They're shy. They're like, they don't want to embarrass their family.
Yeah, they want to seem like they're like a bad husband or something.
They don't right. That nobody believes it.
Of course. I don't believe it for a second.
Now, he did say that Dina's mad at him all the time. But of course you're going to argue with your spouse like every once in a while.
The only person I think wouldn't do it is Cakes, and that's because
Cakes
avoids confrontation.
He's a pacifist.
Yes, he will run out of a room if there's an argument.
If EB and JP are going at it, Cakes doesn't say a word.
Yeah,
just sits there quietly.
Yes, and plus Amy thinks about Cakes as the
king.
Yes, the king. Her knight in shining armor. So I can see how Cakes and Amy, it doesn't happen.
I'm so jealous of that.
What?
I'm still like trying to please my wife, make her not hate me for 20 hours a day, be annoyed by me. Cakes, I'm so jealous of that Cakes can do whatever he wants. He can go disappear at the casino for 8 hours on a school night.
Hey, babe, do you need me around? It's a high hands at MGM today. I'm going to go be there for 8 hours.
You know, I'm thinking about...
You're having the Venn diagram in your head about what's going to make Sarah tick or not.
Right. I've been thinking about for 2 days how I'm going to pitch her on that you and me want to play in a media golf tournament in 2 weeks. Like, how can I win? How can I score this one? Cakes can do whatever he wants. He is the king of the castle. Amy adores him. Never argue.
Never questions
him. No conflict.
Him, right?
No. Never questions him.
Right.
He found his soulmate.
Yeah. You know what I think it's like? I think it's like Cakes is driving the motorcycle, and Amy's right there in the sidecar.
Absolutely.
That's the type of relationship they have.
You know what? She's at the sidekick.
She's in the sidecar, even with him, but not doing much of the steering.
Yep. Never. No back talk.
You know, Cakes' hands might be tiny, but he's got a pimp hand.
Cakes has a pimp. Now, hold on. Does Cakes have a pimp hand, or did he just marry the world's nicest woman?
The most submissive woman in the world.
I don't know. Amy seems very, very nice from all the years of knowing her.
She's very nice.
Yeah, so Cakes lucked out. I would imagine, I don't know. I don't think JP and his wife seem to be getting along. I don't think there's a lot of arguing in that house. Eric and Dina, but I think it's all, no one's having like these big blowouts or anything like that. But Jason would be, he'd be a pain in the ass to live with. So demanding.
Just always clean, too.
So just like, Jason wants things done his way, right?
And
Eric lets his wife drive. He doesn't really, Eric's pretty laid back. JP and his wife seem to, like, they have more in common. Like, they, like,
well,
get
how's
along.
That any different than Cakes? Because Cakes is the king of his house.
And no, Jason would be the king of Cakes his. Is a go with the flow guy. Jason is demanding.
He's laying down these edicts. Like, yeah. We're watching college basketball at 3 o'clock today because I got to watch this game.
Right.
Like, I got
to. Or the daughters aren't order. His daughters aren't allowed to order a poster from One Direction. Like all those things. He seems like a pain in the ass to live with. I love Jason.
Do you think maybe because Jason's daughters are both at college and that it's just him and Teresa that there would be more prone for arguments or something like that? Is that kind of what you're getting at? Like the buffer of
no.
The two daughters aren't there.
No, Teresa seems pretty cool.
Yes, she is.
She seems like she gets she's into all the same stuff that she watches sports with him.
She's a sports.
Do you think? Let me ask you, my wife knows that Russell Wilson was traded?
No,
absolutely not. She barely knows who Russell Wilson is.
Wouldn't it be funny if she goes, "Hey, did you see Russell left on Saturday?"
My wife
trying to bond with you.
Yeah, look, I love my wife, and we have our own things that we bond over, but sports isn't one of them. I'm always a little jealous of that. It is what it is.
It is what it is. But I don't think they would have anything to lie about. Maybe there's a little embellishment.
Well, no one's gonna come on the air and say me and my wife scream at each other all the time. No one's gonna say that.
That's true.
But I'm not believing that him and Dina have only yelled at each other 5 times.
Five times
in 25 years of being married. I don't believe that for a second.
5 times in a week.
Yeah. All right. One of the things also that you were super excited to put in the entertainment page was the passing of the CEO and founder of Entenmann's.
Yes.
That really made an impression on you. that I would have scrolled right through that one.
When I think of Entenmann's, I think of my childhood.
Okay. It always goes back to Valdez's childhood.
I think about their coffee cake. That was my number one. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get some discussion.
It was well produced. I thought you did a good job.
Thank you. I wanted to get some discussion on the entertainment page other than Dope Sick and Succession.
I know. Breaking down TV shows. I thought it was well played by you by putting that in there.
Well, I was talking to Eric because everyone has their Entenmann's in their mind. When they think of Entenmann's, the first thing they think of is boom. Mine's coffee cake.
Right.
Yours is go. Boom.
Pop'ems.
See?
Yeah.
Cakes was, what was Cakes?
Well, two of the guys said like
the raspberry.
The raspberry.
By the way, I've never seen a raspberry thing.
I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. And then JP's was the chocolate chip cookies, which are phenomenal from Entenmann's.
I've never had an Entenmann's cookie before.
Well, there's like 50 of them in a box. Maybe not 50, but like, I don't know, a bunch of small ones, and they are very chewy. They're silly.
I'm a big chewy cookie.
But they're small. Oh. They're like between like a silver dollar or a quarter or something.
Have you ever had an Otis Spunkmeyer cookie?
Of course I've had an Otis Spunkmeyer cookie. Who do you think I am?
it reminded me because in high school, mm-hmm. we had a school shop,
yeah,
where you would buy a bunch, like if you need a pencil or like a binder, like a little kiosk
mm-hmm.
that also had Otis Spunkmeyer cookies in there too. And they were baked fresh every day, and kids used to trade their lunch money to go get 2 Otis Spunkmeyer cookies.
I think Otis Spunkmeyer cookies are in every school cafeteria in the world.
They've weaseled their way into school.
They did.
And you should see the big chubby kids would run up there like it was crack and trade their $1.10 in the morning so that they could have 2 sugar cookies.
You know what? It's like you went to my high school. It's really weird because I was obsessed with the sugar cookies in the cafeteria from Otis Spunkmeyer.
And they were always they were butt warm.
Yeah.
All right. And then our school would open at like 7 a.m. All right, the doors would open. Mm-hmm. And so people would walk in there and they would just bake them. And the smell of sugar cookie used to permeate throughout the halls of my high school. And it was Walking Dead. People would be like zombies heading straight to get their Otis Spunkmeyer at 7:15 in the morning.
I didn't like that movement. I don't know if it's still a thing like 10 years ago where they wanted to remove all non-nutritional snacks from schools, remove the soda machine and remove the cookies and remove all the Snicker bars and all that stuff. Now, maybe if they're super young, like elementary school kids.
If you're in middle school, but by the time you're in high school, you make your own choices.
Absolutely. I wonder if high schools still have all those options. Like, can you still buy cookies anytime? Like, you in my high school, you could go to the cafeteria any time of the day and buy cookies.
Well, you could. I mean, it was like kids were on crack in the morning because they'd get a Fruitopia and two sugar cookies. And then boom, they're bouncing off the walls for an hour.
Did I ever tell you my soda machine story in eighth grade and how I got in trouble?
No. Buckle up.
So I think I did. I'll make it quick. In eighth grade, we had to raise money to go on our eighth grade trip. We went on a seventh grade trip to the Oregon coast and an eighth grade trip to the islands outside of Seattle. Okay, in the Puget Sound. And the purpose of the trip is like you stay with your class and you learn about biology and wildlife.
Yeah, no,
we had
those fake things too. It's like it was our version.
It was our version of all the kids that come to DC, right? Like our Washington State. And so we had to raise money. And in eighth grade, we were in charge of the soda machine. Okay, this thing was a cash cow. Okay?
No wonder you always ask me to buy one with you.
This thing, every kid in middle school.
All right, what kind of soda did it pop?
It was
out?
Pepsi. It was a Pepsi branded.
So Pepsi, Diet Pepsi,
Mountain Dew. I think there was a Dr. Pepper in there.
Okay, so, 7-Up.
Definitely a 7-Up. So it must have been
Sunkist.
Maybe. There weren't that many options. There were like six sodas.
All right.
Okay, it was the old school. This thing was from like the 70s.
Okay.
But I was in charge of cleaning out the quarters. Okay. Every week. All right. In eighth grade. I think I was a school treasurer, actually. Okay. So it was down in like a stairwell. Okay. So, and you could overlook the railing into the bottom of the stairwell and see the soda machine. Uh-huh. So, before school started.
Perfect placement, by the way.
Yeah. Perfect.
Everyone gets it.
Walk by it until it dies today. So, I wasn't a thief. Okay. But I love soda. Every Friday, okay, I would steal 50 cents when I cleaned out the machine. And I did this. And wasn't trying to make a bunch of money or anything like that. I just wanted,
a free soda for your hard work.
I wanted a soda after school.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'm working hard, getting all these quarters. The least I can do is get a soda for myself.
Exactly. But you couldn't reach in. I couldn't reach in and take the sodas because it was filled up by this Pepsi guy.
Yeah, it was filled up by like the company. You probably needed like a key to like access that.
So I don't remember all the details of it, but why I just didn't take a soda. Well, my eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Snitley, was overlooking the railing one Friday of Mr. Little Matt Cahill cleaning out the soda machine. And she saw me dip my hand into that container and pull out a bunch of quarters. Okay? I'm so stupid. She screams out, "Matt, what do you think happened in eighth grade at 7:45 a.m. when she yelled my name?
Did you pee your pants?
I pissed my pants. Okay.
No.
I pissed my pants in eighth grade. I was so scared. I knew I was busted. The gig was up.
Okay. Busted Stone Cold.
Stealing quarters. Okay. So I get trashed.
You have nubs instincts. Your fight or flight.
Piss my pants. Big, all down my leg. I get dragged to the principal's office.
Were your shoes squeaking from the piss that ran in them?
Dude, huge wet spot, okay? Huge.
Somebody thinks somebody spilled a Mellow Yellow by the machine.
So nubs and sticks. Big scaredy cat.
You're a deer to headlights and wet yourself.
Well, I wasn't used to getting in trouble, okay?
And then she's dragged. I like the idea of her.
Hold on. Hurt, hold on.
Dragging you by your ear.
I got dragged, dude. I got dragged by my shirt, okay, into the principal's office.
with your piss-soaked pants.
Yeah. I'm sitting down there. I know I'm busted. Like, honestly, I felt like I was getting arraigned for murder. Like, it was I was so scared.
Well, trust me, I get it, because when you're in the principal's office for like the first time when you're a kid, like, you're not used to it.
Well,
it's a new environment.
I was used to like going to the principal's office for every blue moon for getting in trouble in class or mouthing off or doing something stupid, but not for theft. Like, I was seriously scared and this will tell you a little bit about my parents. They called my mom. Okay.
Oh, by the way, that the biggest threat in the world is to have a teacher call your mom.
By the way, we say "by the way" all the time. We got to work on that. My mom's nickname was the General. Okay, strictest mom on the planet. So mean. Okay,
give I told you, great you, insurance rate.
They called my mom down to school, and it was me, my mom, and Mrs. Snitley. She told the school to call the police on me. Okay.
She did that line again.
She told the school to call the police down here to like press charges on me. It's my own mother. Yeah. Okay. She's the worst, like the worst mom ever. And she wasn't doing like the "I'm just kidding" thing, like get back in the car.
Matt Cahill, grand larceny.
She told the principal and Mrs. Snitley to call the police. Okay. And do you want to hear what my excuse was?
Can't wait. Your alibi.
Okay, not my alibi, but I told them that I wasn't stealing money, but I like to twirl the quarters around in my fingers because I like the feeling.
And by the way, how long
have you any quarters in here? Have you ever like twirled some quarters around in your fingers? It's actually a silly feeling. I like the feeling of it. And you know what?
Hey. And by the way, How long were you put on the, like, you could have thought of something a lot more.
I had an hour or two to think about it. That's what I came up with.
And that's what your dumb
my
peanuts
underdeveloped brain came up with, that I like to twirl the cords in my fingers.
Your underdeveloped brain told your body to piss itself and then came up with twirling quarters.
It's a silly feeling. You rotate it from like one finger to the next and see how long you can keep it. It's like spinning a ball on your finger. What do you think happened?
They looked at you and laughed.
I got suspended for 2 days, and I had to go talk to a guy from the church and find out and write a report on the word integrity. A 3-page report on the word integrity.
3 pages?
On what it meant, and I had to interview this guy in the church that was full of integrity.
Was it Jesus himself?
No, but it was like a guy who worked in the church. You know what? I don't even know if I learned my lesson, because I used to steal from World Market all the time as an employee, steal candy bars all the time years later.
All right, so. Well, you don't steal anything from the market here.
Too many cameras. No, I was dumb and young, and it was a learning lesson for sure.
Yeah, I can't believe you
said that. But I'll say this. I've never shoplifted from a store outside of me feeling like I deserved a candy bar during break at work every once in a while. Have you ever gone into a store and put something into your pocket?
Never.
I don't think I ever have. Too scared. I'm scared of the police.
Never. Now, I have been frustrated where, like, if I'm like scanning a salad from Giant at like the self checkout and it doesn't work, I'll just throw it in my bag because I'm frustrated.
Well, that's fair. You gave your best effort.
I did.
You gave your best effort, and it's on them for having.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna take like a filet that's like, you know, $20 and put it in my bag.
Oh, so that happened to me recently. I bought something that was supposed to be $9.99 and ran for 80 cents or something.
They put the wrong label on it.
It wasn't stealing. It's not right. Used an error on your end. Yeah. Right.
It was mislabeled. Yeah. That's your fault.
Yeah. How did we get on that? We were talking about Entenmann's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's silly cookies.
Otis Spunkmeyer cookies.
Right. I love Entenmann's. I actually think, though, that I'm a sucker for the store brand donuts. If the store makes donut holes.
It has their own bakery.
Yeah, like if Harris Teeter makes their own hair, I can't stop eating those things. I'm a sucker for donut holes.
You know, you're a sugar addict.
Like JP?
I'd say more like Eric.
No, Eric likes crap. He likes like candy, like Jolly Rancher type stuff. like sweet candies and all that.
I don't like chocolate.
I'm not a big chocolate guy either, but I do like cookies. You know how silly cookies for a dollar?
Yeah, you say that. Hold on. You say them all the time.
7-Eleven.
All right. The best cookies in the world.
I'm on a 7-Eleven cookie kick. It's tough to break.
Potbelly. That, they have the best cookies.
They do have the best cookies, but they're too expensive.
Well, they're supposed to be a treat. You're not supposed to get them every day.
I know. Well, I've been getting these 7-Eleven cookies a lot. Not every day, but a lot.
I thought you're on a diet.
I've stalled at 198.
I thought you're on a diet. You're eating too many cookies.
I've stalled at. We've had a plateau, Valdez.
You got to get you down to your wedding weight.
Are you, before we go, are you excited about the Longwood gear that we're getting?
You know, I was thinking about it when Victoria called in. I think that was her name, right? Victoria?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten a gear shipment in a while.
I know. We're down to Longwood.
Like, what happened to all of these big times? Like,
Isn't that our fault?
I don't want to trash Longwood. But, like, Maryland used to give us gear every season. Georgetown would give us silly Jordan gear.
I know.
We would get stuff from, like, Nate. People would come in with Navy stuff for us.
All these connections are just falling away. You know, I blame us because we should be writing emails and letters to people
for free stuff.
For free stuff. We should be writing apparel companies and saying, hey, we're on TV.
We'll wear your gear.
Home field. You coming out with all these new college sweatshirts and stuff all the time.
You know what pissed
me? Send us a few. We'll wear them on the show.
You know what pissed me off is that J.P. Finley got a T-shirt in the mail yesterday.
From who?
I don't know, like some dog walking company.
Ugh, that's the stuff that irritates me.
And
what about Cake saying he wouldn't wear a Longwood tee?
Wait,
but he's wearing an ARS polo all the time.
I don't understand that. Cakes is the biggest proponent of free crap.
I know. Well, that was the weirdest take ever. Yeah. That was out of left field.
You think it's because he's like this? He's this big Terps guy now. He's a huge Terps donor, and Longwood's going to be in the tournament.
I just think that. Can you have a worse name for a school than Longwood? That stinks.
Well, of course. I'm sure they've heard it 20,000 times.
Well, I'm not even talking about like the phallic reference. It just sounds, maybe the universe. I've barely heard of Longwood. It's like wearing a Christopher Newport shirt. Okay, yeah. Like, hey, they're going to the tournament. We'll send you guys some gear.
CNU.
Yeah. For some reason, that just like doesn't do it for me.
Are they like the Explorers or the Pirates?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
They might be like the Explorers.
They have a worse mascot than they do a school name. The Explorers.
Or like Pirates. Something like that.
What's Old Dominion?
Old Dominion Monarchs, right? Aren't they the Monarchs?
Yeah, the Monarchs, you're right.
Silly.
Their mascot says Captain Chris.
Hey, that sounds like...
It looks like a musketeer or something. Oh, they're the captains. Duh. It looks like a musketeer. Now I want a three musketeer.
if you sent CNU stuff, I'd wear it.
You know what? I kind of like this logo. I think I would, too.
I can always use workout gear.
Right. All right, next week on the show, we're a little bit short today because it was all sports this week. You know... We're disappointed too, but
the guy's got nothing.
Bit season's got nothing. Yeah.
Well, we should have invited Cakes in.
We should have. No. Actually, I think with the fun conversations. Next week, though, we might have a new producer.
Yeah, that's a great tease. We've been approached by somebody for the producer slot that's opened up since AWOD has moved on to greener pastures.
Well, we think he has.
Yes.
He's shown zero interest in bit season. So we're moving on.
Yeah, so we're moving on as well. But this person is excited about the show. And we're excited to give him an interview. So maybe we'll do that live. Well, not live, but you know what I mean.
We are the kings of the joint interview.
Yes.
We've done many of them with interns in our day. It's always the same question.
Yeah. Hey, what would you do if Russia launched a nuclear bomb on the Ukraine in the middle of your show?
I hope we could get into that someday. That's a relatively new thing with that.
That's an inside baseball thing.
Who could our next producer be?
You know what? I want to see some of the guesses. So tweet your guesses to us. Who who you think is trying to jump on the bit season freight train.
All right, we'll update you guys next week. And Valdez and I are going to make a push, even though it's one day removed from the Carson Wentz trade, for a Friday fun day. A lot of non-sports on the junks. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, we got a lot of EP to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Junkies parlay.
That's true.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.